Well, tonight we're going to start a series, Lord willing. I believe we're going to have this series. Amen. The series is going to be called A Life of Faith. But tonight we're just going to talk about live by faith. Real simple. We begin this Christian life by faith. That's how it starts. Amen. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we have been saved by grace through faith. It doesn't happen without faith. And 1 John 5:1 tells us that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's the people that have faith. It's the people that believe that are born of God. That's how we begin this life. We put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins. We believe he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and he died on the cross for our sins. And then he rose from the dead. Amen. And you see, when we believe those things, we begin this life. But it's not just how we begin this life. It's how we live this life. Each and every day, our life as a believer, right? Believers? As a believer, each and every day, we live by faith. One of my very favorite, I got a lot of favorites, but this is like one of my very, very favorite verses in the Bible. It's just so rich and so full of powerful truths. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. That old man, that old nature, by faith, it died on the cross with Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. How do you live this life? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I'm now living, I live by faith. I'll tell you, every one of us needs to get this down in our heart tonight. The life that I'm now living, I live by faith. You can't really live this life just living by your old way of thinking, by, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. You can't really live this life that way. You got to live each and every day by faith. Christ lives in the born again believer, and that old way of life, living by what we see, living by what my senses tell me, what I feel, what I can figure out with the natural mind, we don't live that way anymore because we're living by faith. You know you're forgiven by faith. Amen. We believe Jesus did that for us. We believe what the Bible says about salvation. But we got to understand this. It's not just for the past. It's for the right now, every day, each and every day. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Now, when it says just, it's just talking about people that are right with God. In fact, the NIV puts it this way, the righteous shall live by faith. You see, the people of God, the people that are right with God, anybody right with God tonight? I'm going to say this kind of flippantly, but it's absolutely the truth. If you're not right with God tonight, I tell you, come to the front tonight for prayer and get right with God before you leave this place. But if you're right with God, this is how you're supposed to live, by faith. And we need to ask ourselves and just be honest with ourselves. Am I really living by faith? Is this how I live? See, as a believer, as a Christian, a child of God, we're supposed to live by faith. I want you to think about what that verse is saying. We live by faith. It's a way of life for us. In John 10 and 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The NIV says, to the full. It's supposed to be a full life, something that's, it's like life overflowing. That's the kind of life that we're supposed to live. That's a life of faith. Because I want to tell you, you got to have faith to really experience the life God has for you, all that He wants for you. You got to have a faith that's real, something that makes a difference in our lives every day. So, what are you believing God for? Now, I know the response a lot of the time is, well, it'd probably be my first response. A lot of things. But you know, sometimes there needs to be something on the tip of our tongue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you see the miracles and the things that happened in the Bible, if you ask that person, hey, what do you believe in God for? They could have told you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we just need to have something. I think most of the time, there ought to be something that we're just believing God for. And I got something I'm always believing God for. It's just been in my heart for a long time. I'm believing God for the increase, for the growth of this church. He says, we plant, we water, and He gives the increase. And I'm believing God for that. I'm believing God for much fruit. Amen. That will glorify God. And I'm believing that Jesus is still building His church, and Grace Church is part of His church that He's building. I believe that. But see, we got to have something that we're saying, you know what? I'm believing God for this. And you got to, I don't know if you caught this or not for sure, but everything I just said I'm believing for is based on Scripture. There's a Scripture that goes with that. And you got to have a word. You got to have a reason that you believe that. But even when it doesn't look like it, see, when we have a big crowd on Sunday, I say, whoa, it's easy to believe today. The church is growing. And then, you know, one week the pastor, he was just kind of boring that week and people didn't show up the next week. I still believe. My faith is bigger than me. My faith is in God. And I'm still believing what His word says, that He gives the increase. And He will. Amen. He does. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. See, faith is how we walk. It's a lifestyle. It's something that we live every single day. We don't go by what we see. We live by faith, not by sight. I like the way the NIV puts it there. Real simple. We live by faith, not by sight. It's not by what I see. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to really live the life God has for you, you can't live the way the world thinks. I believe it when I see it. Not by sight. That's what it says. And I'm going to get this in here too. And not by what you feel. And there's an epidemic of stupid in the body of Christ with people going by how they feel. And some of them think it's real spiritual, like how I feel, it must be the Holy Spirit. You don't go by how you feel. You go by what the Word of God says. That's one reason people don't go to church much anymore. I just don't feel like going. What's that got to do with it? You go to worship God. It doesn't matter how I feel. He's always worthy of my praise. Even on the days I don't feel like it. Even the days I'm grumpy. You just grab yourself, drag yourself. I'm going to worship God. Maybe your attitude will change on the way, I hope. But I tell you, if you live by your feelings, you're always going to be on a spiritual roller coaster. You're never going to have victory for long. You're going to be on a roller coaster, up one day and down the next. But here's the thing. You see, the Lord, He forgives when you confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of God. He is faithful and just to do it. Here's the thing. You might still feel guilty and condemned. You might still feel like there's this heaviness, this cloud on you. But it doesn't change the truth that God says that he forgives you. You see, you got to live by faith. You take that simple promise by faith. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're not going by that. You're going by God's word. You trust him that he will keep his word. He's with you. I'll tell you, sometimes I feel him. I love that. Sometimes I don't. He's still with me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And he loves you, whether you feel it or not. You know, sometimes when people are going through horrible pain and difficult times, they just feel like God doesn't love me anymore. Yes, he does. He still loves you, whether you feel it or not. Faith, trusting God, living by faith is living according to what God has said instead of what you see or what you hear even or what you feel. Some people's faith is dependent on the 6 o'clock news. I mean, you know, if I don't know when you get good news at the 6 o'clock news, but I suppose if there was some good news, then their faith would get up. Some people's faith is dependent upon the economy. What happened with the stock market today? Some people's faith is dependent upon what the doctor says. Our faith has to depend on what God says. And nothing else. Faith is looking beyond. I said, we live by faith, not by sight. Faith is living beyond what the optic nerves are telling your brain, the eye sees. Well, my eye sees this, is what it's telling my brain. We got to have a whole lot more confidence in what God says than what we see. I'll tell you, if you don't, not only will you not be able to walk by faith, but you're going to end up being deceived and disobey God. This is what happened to Eve. You know, Eve knew what God had said. But Genesis 3:6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. When she saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to make one wise, she took it and she ate it. Why? Now I know maybe she didn't. I've said this and I believe this. She didn't have a whole lot of confidence in exactly what God said. She was easily talked out of what God said. But she had heard they were not to eat of the fruit of the tree. That God told them not to. And she knew it. But when she saw, you can't go by what you see. You got to go by what the word of God says. A life of faith is a life of trusting God. It's a life built on the word of God. It's so much more. How do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. Yes. And I got to tell you that it's more than just that, though. It's something that we ought to be experiencing every day in our life, not just when we go to heaven. You know, this old world will try to undermine the word of God, but Jesus showed us that the word of God is a sure thing. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Yes, the temporal, everything that you see, how did it get here? It was made by things that were not seen. That's what the Bible says. And it's going to all pass away. But heaven and earth, even heaven and earth is going to pass away. But listen, My words will by no means pass away. His word doesn't change. A lot of ideas about what faith is, but the Bible gives us a clear definition in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's not an assumption, it's an assurance. How can you be sure? Because our faith is based on the Word of God, what the Scripture, the promises of God tell us. And that's what we have to stand on. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a great attack against the Word of God in this generation. And it's not what some of you are thinking. It's not coming from an ungodly world. It's coming from people who are taking the Word of God and changing it and making it say different things than what it actually says. And all these translations where people are, so many men of God are even preaching from this garbage now. And they like it because they got a whole new set of sermons of stuff that nobody ever had before. I hear them quote verses, and it's a verse that I've known for 40 years, and I can't even recognize the verse. And here's where the real damage is. And even the world is smart enough to figure this out. Well, read this one, and it says something totally different from this one, and this is something. So, which one's right? And in comes the doubts and unbelief. You need to hold to the Word of God and not one of those paraphrases that they call a translation. It is not a translation. A translation is where you take one word and you translate it into a different language. And sometimes it might take two words to describe that, but what they're doing is they go on with all this flowery language and garbage, and all it is bringing confusion into the people of God where they don't know what's real and what's not. You need to know what God has said, that you can stand on it. And I'm just telling you, you got to put aside all that confusion. You get a hold of the Word of God. By the way, there's a reason I preach from the New King James. King James is just a little hard for a lot of people to grasp. But almost all of the newer translations are just heading off out in the deep end. But a few of them are solid, except for the fact they don't hold to the same text that the King James and the New King James does. But I'm just telling you, though, don't go buy yourself a bunch of flowery translations because they sound good. You stick with the Word of God that you can know it's actually the Word of God, because then you can stand on it. If you can't stand on it, you're in trouble. You got anything more than the world does. Now, the definition of faith, it says it's the substance of things hoped for. I want you to know it's real. It's substance. Let me do it this way. Did you know right now I know I have a Bible behind my back? I know it. Now you're saying, well, you can feel it. I know, but I can't see it. I've got the substance of it. And when you have real faith, you've got the substance of it. It's not just a feeling that came over you. No, when you really believe, you've got a hold of something. And then he says, it's the evidence of things not seen. We all know what evidence is, right? I mean, in a courtroom, that's how they prove something. Evidence. Faith is the evidence. You can't see it, but I've got evidence of it because I believe. It's more than just a wish. And then here's part of the problem with a lot of people's faith is it's the substance of things hoped for. And so many people, their hopes have been diminished to where they're nothing more than a weak wish. Hope is not a wish. You know, I hope it doesn't rain. I wish it wouldn't rain. They use it just like that. But biblical hope is a firm conviction. It is an expectation. It is a knowing inside that somehow, someday. Right. See, I know Jesus is coming back. Yeah. I don't know when, but I know this is my blessed hope. Somehow, someday, my Savior is going to return. Amen. And that's, you see, faith is the substance of things hope for. Yeah, we've all had disappointments and times when our hopes, you know, seem like they're dashed, but we should never give up. Most of us, we lose the childlike faith early on in life. We learn not to get our hopes up or to really expect great things. And we learn to keep our expectations low. And consequently, our faith never gets off the ground. I just want to encourage you tonight to take the word of God and ignite your faith. When you have a living faith, and you got the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, you can enjoy it even before you see it. This is not really that complicated. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's not complicated. When I was 12 years old, coming home from summer camp, a couple hour ride home, and my parents told me that they bought me a horse. And I was totally silent. This weird thing happened to this 12-year-old boy. These little drops of water started running down my face. The first and one of a very few times I've ever cried happy tears in my life. Now, here's what's really strange. You see, when they told me that, I actually believed that I had a horse. I mean, I could see myself riding. I was so excited, I could hardly stand it. Now, here's the really weird part. Then when we got home and I saw the horse and I rode the horse, I didn't cry. I had already experienced that because it was just as real to me when they told me as when I saw it. Why do we have to see what God says before we believe it? I mean, if any of us parents, we tell our kids something, we expect them to believe what we tell them. How do we not believe what our Father says in His Word? We got to learn to live by faith much more than we do. We live in a society that's very religious, and most people believe in God. Most people in America believe in Jesus. But even among born-again Christians, there's a stronghold of doubt and unbelief. Not many people believe God for miracles anymore. Not many people are willing to believe anything that they can't see. How could Doubting Thomas have so many descendants? And why do they live in our country? That's all I'm saying. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith has to rest on the word of God. The word of God is a sure thing, and it's the only sure thing. He is a God who cannot lie. I already quoted a similar verse, but Mark 13:31, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. See, in our world, we learn to be cynical, to doubt, to not believe even what we see sometimes. And we're living in this age now where they can create all kinds of fake video and Photoshop pictures and do all kinds of, you can't even believe what you see sometimes. And so we learn to be cynical and unbelieving and doubting. But here's where we got to get this. Yeah. Somebody wants to sell you something, somebody calls you, whatever. Yeah, you ought to be doubting and cynical and unbelieving. People lie all the time. Even people that claim to be servants of God. But we're not talking about people. He is not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie. He has never lied. In fact, this is the thing that God cannot do. It says, God who cannot lie. And so when he says it, we're not to be cynical and unbelieving and doubting, but we take him at his word always. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's a whole lot of ways we need to be different from the world, but I'm telling you tonight, this is one of the ways we need to be different from the world. And he says, be renewed in your mind. Don't be conformed to the world. How are you going to be different? You got to change your mind. You got to be renewed in your mind. You can't think like the world anymore. And if we're going to live by faith, I want to tell you, you got to start thinking this way. You got to change the way you think. Need to realize we serve an awesome God who can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. See, we're supposed to walk it, live it out, not just talk it. But for most people, even to talk faith would be a stretch. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to tell you, most people just talk doubt all the time. It's so easy to be negative. And it's all the rage, by the way. But we have to speak faith and we have to live it. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Doesn't matter how much you say it, if you don't live it. In the NIV, it says it this way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Dead faith is faith that is talked but not walked. You got to live by faith. We choose to live by faith in what God has promised, or else we just end up living like everybody else. Right. And I want to tell you, the Lord has more for us. Amen. Bible is full of promises, but are they for us? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, in Jesus, amen, to the glory of God through us. Why would we settle or fall into a pattern of just a normal old way of life that requires no faith? Don't conform to this world. They may say they're different from the world. They go to church. You know, it kind of goes like this. They don't drink as much as they used to, and they plan on going to heaven someday. That's not the abundant life that Jesus was talking about. No, this is a life of faith. It's an exciting life. It is a life where we actually see God moving and working in our lives. But that kind of Christianity, that can't please God. If we're going to please God, you have to live by faith. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells me very plainly. In Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Now, some people, you know, they read in Genesis how he was taken. They think, oh, well, that just means he died. Well, it says very plainly here in Hebrews that he did not see death because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This is what they said about Enoch. He pleased God. Now, he's one of only two people the Bible tells us specifically that they walked with God. The other was Noah. He's one of only two people that the Bible tells us went to heaven without dying. The other one was Elijah. He's one of only two people that the Bible tells us specifically that he pleased God. The other one was the Lord Jesus himself. A life of faith is what pleases God. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch pleased God because he believed. He who comes to God must believe that he is. See, a lot of people believe that God is there. But you also have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. People that don't diligently seek him don't believe that he rewards. I got to tell you. There's many that believe in God, but they don't live a life of faith because they don't really believe that God is going to move and work in their life. They don't really seek God diligently because they don't believe that he's going to answer their prayers. To please God, you got to believe. Some believers, they have the mindset that faith is for dying. Well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah, it's for dying, but it's for living. We live by faith. And if you're going to please God, that's the only way to live. But I want to challenge you tonight to live by faith every day. Every day. Don't just live, you know, if you can do it all on your own, I mean, if you don't need God's help in anything that you're doing, that's not faith. And a lot of times, you know, people just kind of live, well, just like the world. Sometimes a life of faith, where you're really relying on the Lord, I want to tell you, sometimes it'll put you out on a limb. I'm a really conservative person in many ways, and I believe the Bible makes it abundantly clear that we should use wisdom in our decisions. But there are times when living by faith goes beyond reason because we're standing on the Word of God and we're counting on God. We take a step out in faith. We're willing to put ourselves in the position where we got to have God's help. We trust God. Not just when we're forced to. See, a lot of people believe when they're backed up against the wall and they ain't got no choice but to trust God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where we're willing to step out of the boat and put ourselves in the place sometimes. I'm not talking about assumption where we're being foolish. I'm talking about where we believe that God has told us or spoken to us or the scripture has told us that we should do something. And so we just obey God, whether we feel comfortable about it or not. And I got to tell you, living by faith is the only way to go. See, this world, well, they operate in a negative faith. It's fear. Most people are so focused on bad things. They're constantly, we talked about this last week, but they're constantly worrying, full of anxiety and fear. And you realize that political parties, this is their number one tool. Whatever party, fear. News programs use fear. You know why they don't use a lot of good news? There's something in that old nature, that old human nature, that people are drawn to all of that yuck. You're not going to see on the news tonight that there was 100 kids or more in here worshiping God, and a bunch of them turned their life over to God, and they love God, and they're serving God, and they're not on drugs, and they're not doing all kinds of stupid things. They're not messing up the rest of their life. You're not going to see that on the news. That's not news. Everything from insurance to deodorant, they use fear to sell. Jesus said, don't be afraid. He said, do not worry. In Philippians, it says, don't be anxious about anything. How can we live in this world that is so fearful? You live by faith. Because faith will drive out doubt and fear and unbelief. Fear. It just keeps most people from really living life to the full. And I got to tell you, as a new creation in Christ, you're not designed for worry and fear. You're designed for faith. That's the way you're supposed to live. We get disillusioned. Yeah, we all have been disappointed. Things don't go the way we plan. There's always going to be a trying of your faith. You just need to be ready for that. There will be a test. A lot of people believe for a short time, but when it gets tough, they go back to living by sight. You got to hold on to the Word of God because your faith will be challenged. And a lot of the time, the miracle, the breakthrough is going to come. After it looks like it's too late, it's too far gone, it's over. Our God does the impossible. I love this story from Mark chapter 5, 35 and 36. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to heal his sick daughter. It tells us while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. It was over. But not for Jesus. You're praying about your marriage and it gets worse. Well, that didn't work. Keep praying. Keep believing. Praying about your finances, you get three more bills. You're praying about going to college and you get a rejection letter. I tell you, everything is possible for him who believes. Others tell you you can't do it. You know, when David got ready to face Goliath, Saul said to him, David, he said, or excuse me, first David says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. Real encouraging words there. I want to tell you something. Saul meant well. I mean, he's just looking at things in the natural. This guy's going to kill you. And we all know that David trusted God and had faith anyway. He wouldn't listen. And there's a time that you don't listen to the rabble. You don't listen to the 10 spies that came back with a bad report. Listen, when you've got a word from God that you're standing on, when you've heard from God, you don't listen to what people say. I remember when I was 18 years old and I was planning on being a vet. And God called me into ministry. And I remember when I told my mom and dad. My dad was a preacher's kid. And during the Depression, they were so poor, he knew what it was to actually be hungry. They actually didn't have enough food in the house sometimes to eat. And so my dad says to me, out of love and concern, he meant well. He says to me, Mark, I don't know how you're ever going to provide for a family. Of course, I was so stupid at 18 years old that I just knew God was going to take care of me. Amen. And I got to tell you that God has always taken care of me and my family and blessed me way far above what I deserve. Glory. He's been so good to me. But my dad meant well. And I want to tell you, there's going to be well-meaning people sometimes try to talk you down from your faith. But when you know that you got a word from God, you've heard from God, you don't let anything keep you from going on with what God has told you. Yes. I mean, when you live by faith, there's going to be times when maybe you look foolish with a natural eye. Noah built a boat when there was absolutely no need for one. What a nut. But he didn't look so crazy when the floods came. That's right. I want to tell you, whatever God has for you, there's going to be a river that you're going to have to cross. And you're going to have to walk up to that river and stand in the edge of the water before it parts. There's going to be some walls that you got to march around until they fall. There's going to be some giants that you have to face. So how do we live by faith? First, you got to have a word to stand on. We live by the word of God. That's how you live by faith, is by God's word. Because anything else will fail. Anything else is not a sure thing. I'm just going to throw out some phrases from verses, but by his stripes we were healed. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He gives strength to them who have no strength. He says, my peace I give unto you. See, whatever you need, there is a promise in the word of God for you. And you need to find those promises. You need to know those promises. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And I want to tell you, we're talking about living by faith. And there's times when you're going to have to meditate the word, go over it and over it, and you're going to have to talk the word. And then you may be able to do the word. You'll be ready to do the word. Now, I'm preaching to people tonight. I know some of you, you are real strong in the Lord and you read your Bible all the time, and some of you, maybe you don't, and I'm just wanting to encourage you and help you along here. I say stuff like this frequently. I'm going to keep this really simple and short tonight. If you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, then please let me encourage you and challenge you. You just open up the book of Psalms. I mean, if you just split your Bible in the middle, you'll find the book of Psalms. And you start reading in the book of Psalms and carefully looking at what it says, not just skimming through it, but you actually reading and thinking about what it says. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through some of those verses. There will be a verse that comes to life to you that you could stand on in your life. I'm kind of excited about Psalms right now because in my Bible reading, I'm in the book of Psalms right now. And oh man, it's been so good. So I just encourage you, if you don't know where to start, just go to the book at Psalms and be reading there and see if God doesn't speak to you. But you got to have a word to stand on. Second, if we believe, if we really believe, we'll pray. The reason people don't pray is not because they're busy. It's because they don't believe. Because if you believe that God will answer your prayer, there's no way you wouldn't want to pray. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We pray because we believe. Many years ago, in fact, it's been about 20 years now, close to, we had a group of college-age kids over to our house. We had a pool back then, and it was, we had a party on a Sunday afternoon for them. And when we got ready to eat, it started to rain. There were thunderstorms in the area, and it started to sprinkle. And so we just prayed. We prayed that, you know, the Lord would bless the food, and we asked God for good weather. And people, I'll tell you, I know some of you are not going to believe this story. There were at least 20 witnesses there that day. It rained on one half of my yard where the garden was, and on the pool, there wasn't a drop that hit that water. Craziest thing I've ever seen. Well, I've seen a lot of crazy things that may not be the craziest, but it was pretty wild. It was amazing to me. It was like God just did that. And I'm not telling you, go home and try this if you got a pool. I'm telling you that that was just something that God did for us in that moment. But you see, when we pray, God does answer prayers. And I know you may have had some unanswered prayers. I thank God for some of my unanswered prayers. How about you? If you haven't, well, it'll come to you. Just give it some time. You'll figure it out. Looking back, sometimes it's easy to see why God didn't answer that prayer. Third, if we're going to live by faith, you need to talk it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. What you believe out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it's important that you speak faith. Don't be one like the 10 with the bad report. Don't be one of those people saying negative things and discouraging other people. No, you speak the word. You encourage and lift people up by the words that you say. But you speak faith. And last, to live our faith, you have to act on it. And I don't know what this looks like for you and how you do this in your life. And, you know, it may be something different today or a week from now, but you got to be willing to take that step of faith. You got to be willing to get out of the boat like Peter did. You got to be willing. Let me just give you a couple examples. You got to be willing to get involved in that ministry. You got to be willing to go talk to that neighbor. You got to be willing to offer God your praise. You got to be willing. See, for some people, that'd be a step of faith. You got to be willing maybe to give in the offering to support some ministry. I'm just telling you, there needs to be something where you step out of the boat and obey God in whatever it is. You show your faith by obeying God and by living as though you know that He will keep His word. Live by faith. you will never regret it. Stand with me. We're going to pray.